Today's shir is Masechet Gittin Daf Samach. We will begin on Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis, the last words. So as we learned in the previous shir, the Mishnah, the Gemara, the halacha is that a Kohen gets the first aliyah, a Levi gets the second aliyah. Now I ask the Gemara, Sholchalei B'nei Galila L'Rev Chelba. They sent the following question. Achrayin Mikairin. Who follows the Kohen and Levi? What's the order? Says the Gemara, I have biyade. He didn't know the response. Os v'shayla Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. So he went and asked this question of Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. Amalei, Achrayim Kohen Talmid Chachamim Hamamunim. The first aliyah goes to the Talmid Chachamim who are appointed Panosim Al Tzibur, the Rabbonim of the community. V'chreim Talmid Chachamim Haruim L'mnoisim Panosim Al Tzibur. Talmid Chachamim who are worthy of that position. As Rashi explains, who's worthy of that position? Someone who, when you ask him a question in an area of halacha, in any area of halacha, he's able to respond. Achreim b'nei Talmid Chachamim shavaseim emunim panoseim al tzibur. Afterwards are the children of Talmid Chachamim who are of this position. The Pais can say, however, just because someone is a son of such a person, I saw two qualifications. One is that he also at least is following that derech. If he's not at all acting in that manner, just because he has a great father doesn't give him that position, number one. And number two, the Paiskim that suggests it's only as long as their parents are alive. So if somebody has a very prominent parent, and so in respect to his parent who's alive, we also treat the children but one, that way. But once the parent is no longer alive, they don't have that claim. Afterwards, the leaders of the shul, the gabam, the kol adam, and everyone else. So I saw a number of comments that the Mefarshim made. One is, in the previous year we discussed, the Mishnah said, that the Kohen and the Levi is b'nei darkei sholem. That's why the Kohen gets the first aliyah, the Levi gets the second aliyah, and as the Gemara taught us yesterday, they're not allowed to be meichel. Here, the Gemara doesn't use the words darkei sholem. It seems that this is even more of an obligation to follow this order than the order that the Mishnah speaks about darkei sholem. However, the Aruch HaShulchan and the Pais can say that nowadays, since we don't have people of this status anyway, people you can ask a shayla in anywhere in halacha and they can respond, therefore they say that nowadays the order, we don't follow this order. The Mishnah Brura also points out that in a shul where they sell the aliyahs, certainly this order, is, you could sell the aliyahs and whoever buys the aliyah gets the aliyah. We don't follow this order. As I said, the Aruch HaShulchan says we don't follow this order at all. We know there's a famous difference in Minhagim. In the Ashkenazish, in the Yeshivish community, Shlishi is considered the most significant aliyah because it's the first aliyah that a Yisrael could have. In the Mochsidish community, Shishi is considered the most significant aliyah because, as the Arizal quotes the Zohar, the seven aliyahs that we give, says the Zohar, are connected, are corresponding to Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David. Yosef is always called Yosef HaTzadik. So, in correspondence to Yosef HaTzadik, we give aliyah to Shishi, to the Tzadik. The Rosh, already in times of the Rosh, says that in order, it's never worth having a machloikis about what aliyah you receive. And the Rosh already says that he always took the aliyah of Chamishi, because Chamishi is not considered such a significant aliyah. So he says, I'll take Chamishi. I don't need to fight over an aliyah. Dar Sameach says, Mari here only speaks about all the people to get aliyahs till Shishi, who get Shvi. So Posh Pshat in the Gemara is that Shvi you have to leave over for the regular people. But the Aruch Sameach says that Shvi is given to the person who gets Galila. Since people didn't want to get Habib Galila, they consider it not so significant. So we give him Shvi as a compensation for getting Habib Galila. Says the Gemara, Sholchleb Negel Rav Chelba, Ma Likras B'Chumashim Beis HaKnesses. The Chumashim that they had are not the Chumashim that we're used to. Chumashim is a scroll. It's written like our Sifrei Torah. But the Sefer Torah we know has all Chamisha Chumshe Torah. And the Chumash only had one of the Chamisha Chumash Torah, but in every other way, it was exactly identical to a Sefer Torah. What is the halacha? Can you use it to lay in Betzibur? Lehav biyodi. He didn't know the answer. Also, Shaila Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, so he asked the question of Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. He too, lehav biyodi, did not know the response. Also, Shalbe Midrash. So he went to Yeshiva to ask the question, Upashtu miha. And they answered from the following din. Domer Shulman Nachmeni, Omer Rav Yochanan, Sefer Torah Shechos Yiriya Achas. If Sefer Torah is missing one page, ain't Kairimba. We can't use it. So if a Sefer Torah, that we have a whole Sefer Torah, and it's only missing one page, the halach is that we can't use it. Certainly, if a Chumash, it's only one of the Chumash Chumash Torah, cannot be used. The Rishonim are very troubled with this din. Because here it says that if a Sefer Torah is missing one page, then it's disqualified. Which it seems to say that, let's say a Sefer Torah is only missing one letter or one word, it wouldn't be a problem, only if it's missing a page. Yet we know that a Sefer Torah that misses one letter or one page is disqualified. So how do we understand this Gemara? So a discussion amongst the Paiskim, a discussion amongst the Rishonim. So some Rishonim say that the way to understand this Gemara is that it means even one letter. A little difficult, because here it says a page. So to go say one page means one letter is difficult, but that's the halacha. Others want to suggest the following. Indeed, if a Sefer Torah is missing only one letter, it will not be disqualified. Here the halacha is as follows. If we have a Sefer Torah that's missing a whole page, then the halacha, those Rishonim say, is that entire Sefer Torah, it becomes disqualified. But let's say the Sefer Torah is missing a letter or a word. That Chumash, let's say in Seyde Bereishis, it's missing a letter or a word. You can't read from Seyde Bereishis from that Sefer Torah. But what about the other Sfarim? Those Rishonim want to suggest that you would be able to read from it. Now the question is very obvious. We know, the Gemara says it, the Halacha of Tefillin are missing a letter. Mezuzah is missing a letter, it's disqualified. Why should a Sefer Torah be different that these Rishonim are suggesting that even if it's missing a letter, it doesn't become completely disqualified? So the Paiskim say there's a difference between the obligation of Tefillin and Mezuzah versus Sefer Torah. The obligation of Tefillin and Mezuzah is that one has to wear kosher Tefillin. One has to have a kosher Mezuzah. If it's missing a letter, certainly a word, becomes disqualified. A Sefer Torah, the din of the Sefer Torah is not a din in the Sefer. It's a din in the Chiyuv Kriya. We have to read, and we have to read from a Sefer Torah. So it's a different obligation, and therefore the rules are different. So the Gemara is suggesting that if a Sefer Torah is missing a page, it's disqualified. Certainly only one Chumash would be disqualified. So the Gemara, you can't compare the two. You have a Sefer Torah, so if it's missing, it becomes disqualified. Halcha, if you purposely, specifically, only wrote one Chumash, and you have that Chumash, and it's properly written, lechas b'milsei, and maybe you could be able to use it. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Rav Yosef Dam Tavaya, ain't karm b'chumashim beis haknesses. A Chumash cannot be used to lay it in a shul, mishin kfayat tzibur. It's a lack of covet if we're using such a Chumash. So ask the Rishonim, and what happens if the tzibur, again, we have to repeat, that the Chumash that we're talking about here is not what we call a Chumash. It's a Chumash that's one of the Chamisha Chumash Torah, but written in every other way like a Sefer Torah. So ask the Rishonim, what will be the din if the Tzibur is willing to forgo their covet? They have nothing else to use, so they'd rather use this than anything else. So the Beis Yosef says, perhaps the Tzibur could forgive their covet. Most Rishonim disagree, and the Rishonim say that once Al Gemara paskind, that you can't use such a Chumash, under any circumstance, you can't use such a Chumash. However, the halach is, again, it's not that relevant to us, because we don't have such a thing that we have a Chumash. But the halach is that, let's say there is no Sefer Torah available, the halach is that you should use such a Chumash. The Paiskim say, don't make Birchas HaTorah, don't have Zayin Kruim, that people shouldn't come to make the mistake that you could use this L'chatchila, but it's better than nothing. In fact, the halacha is that if a tzibur doesn't have a Sefer Torah at all, the halacha is that you should take a chumash and read the parsha from the chumash. Again, the Paiskim say, no aliyas, no brachas, just that they should have read the parashas HaShavua. There is a shaila in the Paiskim as follows. What would be the din? That's a tzibur. There's a shul that they have a minyan, but they have no Sefer Torah. That's what they should do. What happens if there's an individual? Somebody can't go to shul, so he's davening at home. Does he have the chiyuv? He doesn't have a Sefer Torah at home. Does he have a chiyuv to take out a chumash and read that way? So many Paiskim suggest, it's a famous word from the Brisker Rav, that then there's no obligation. Because the Brisker Rav says the chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah is only a chiyuv on the tzibur. A tzibur has a chiyuv tlein, so therefore, of course, you should use a kosher Sefer Torah. If you don't have a kosher Sefer Torah, at least that you shouldn't forget that there's such a thing as leining, read from a chumash. But a yachid doesn't have a chiyuv at all. And therefore, somebody's davening be yachidus, I'm not suggesting he shouldn't do it. It's better to read from a chumash than to read from a newspaper. But as a chiyuv, he doesn't have a chiyuv. The Rabbi Yosef Tama says the Gemara Vayta. Rabbi Rav Yosef Tama Tavayu. Hai Sefer Aftarta. Sefer Aftarta is a sefer that they used to have that had written in it just the haftaris. The halacha is Osel Mikra Beb Shabbos. You can't use it on Shabbos. Because the halacha is Dvarim Shebiksav, as we're going to learn in our Shir Mitzvah, Dvarim Shebiksav, Torah has to be written properly. And here, when you have a scroll that only has the Nevi'im on it, it's not being written properly, and therefore you can't use it for Haftarah. So the Paiskim say, and we'll discuss this more later in our Shir, from here we see that the halacha, the special halachas that apply to Sefer Torah, don't only apply to Chamisha Chumshat Torah, they also apply to Nevi'im Ksuvim. Because Haftarah is from Nevi'im Ksuvim. Says the Gemara, my Tama, why shouldn't you use it? As we just explained, one shouldn't have written a sefer that just have the haftaris. Mabar of Ashi, Omar, l'tatuli nami asar. Since you can't, not only may you not use it for reading the haftarah, but you shouldn't even move it, it's muksa. My Tama, l'chazi l'mikriba. Since you can't use it for laning, it becomes muksa. So ask the mefarshim, obviously, if you can't use it, so it has no purpose, and anything that can't be used on Shabbos automatically becomes muksa. Why does the Gemara have to point out that it becomes muksa? Answer the mefarshim. We would think that it's no worse than a plain piece of paper. A plain piece of paper is not muksa, so this, we can't use this sifra haftarah to lay the haftarah, but it shouldn't be worse than a piece of paper, and therefore should not be muksa. Teaches us the Gemara that once you can't use it to read from, you can't treat it like a piece of paper. It isn't a piece of paper, and it's muksa. Mabrav Ashi Amar, Vulahi, however, says the Gemara, this is incorrect. Shar l'tatulei, v'shar l'mikraba. We may move it, or we may use it to read. As the Mefarshim explained, and this is the halacha, if there's nothing else to use for haftarah, it's better to use this than not to read haftarah at all. Halacha l'maisa, as the Mishnah Berurah speaks about reading the haftarah, the Mishnah Berurah says the best to do is to have a cloth, to have the Nevi'im and Ksuvim written on scrolls, just like the Chamisha Chumshat Torah. Obviously, the Mishnah Berurah says that not every community, not every shul could afford to have all of Nach on cloth. So he says what would be better is to have a sefer that has all of Tanakh, like they have these the books that have all of Tanakh in one sefer, better than just having a sefer that only has the Haftaris in it. However, Al Gemara just taught us that if you have a sefer that only has the Haftaris in it, also it's acceptable. What's the proof? Rav Yochanan ben Shlokish me'ayin b'sifer d'gadata b'shabsa. They used to look into a sefer that has the Agadata written on Shabbos. So it's a proof that even though it's something that shouldn't be written, as we're going to learn, Divrei Torah Shebal Peh should not be written. So just like there, even though it shouldn't have been used, you can use it. Here too, says the Gemara, V'aloi Nitin L'Kasev, Elo, Kivin D'Aloi Efshar, since I have no other way, Hach Eis Las L'Shem Efer Teresecho. When you have no other way, you are allowed to have a sefer that just has that garata. Hachinami, Kivin D'Aloi Efshar, Eis Las L'Shem Efer Teresecho, and you can use the sefer that garata. Parshim point out two interesting comments. The Shem Tzion Balocha points out from this Gemara that they specifically learned Agadat on Shabbos. During the week, they learned mainly Shas and Paiskim. On Shabbos, when they had more time to learn, and that's the meaning of many communities, that on Shabbos, they learn Sifrei Agadata, that they bring, as we've discussed earlier about Agadata, Yerushalayim. The Mefarshim also point out that our Gemara seems to be emphasizing that Sifrei Agadata, Sfarim that have the Agadata Gemaras, there's more of a concern not to have written more than any other area of Torah Shebal Peh. That's why the Gemara says Sifrei Agadata shouldn't be written. And the question is, why are we more concerned about Agadata Gemara than any other area of Torah Shebal Peh? Explain the Mefarshim. As we ourselves, Baruch Hashem, learned many Agadata Gemaras. Agadata Gemaras are very hard to explain. Many times the literal explanation of the Agadata Gemaras are hard to understand, to absorb. And therefore there's a need for a Rebbe or Mesoira to give the correct shot in the Agadata Gemaras. Because it's a lot easier, it's a lot more likely for a person to make a mistake in the understanding of an Agadata Gemara than a Halacha Gemara. And that's why the Gemara is suggesting they were particularly concerned that Agadata Gemaras should not be written so that nobody should just learn them on their own and perhaps make a mistake. Until the Gemara says, because Eis Las L'Hashem Afer Teresecha, there was a concern that people are going to forget. People started forgetting their learning. As the Rambam explains in the Hakdama, that for generations, Torah was learned from Talmud to Rebbe to Talmud, Rebbe to Talmud, until in the time of Rebbe, people got weaker and they don't remember everything. And therefore, the Gemara says, Eis Lasa L'Hashem Fer Teresecha on the Agadat Gemara. And similarly in the Sifra Avfarta, if they have no other way of having the Aftara read, you may use it. Ask the Gemara. Domine Abai Mirabba. Abai asked from Rabbi the following question. Ma'o Lichtav Megillah L'Tinuk L'Slamed Ba. Can you just write on a scroll a few psukim? We're going to learn this week with the Talmidim, with the yeshiva students, these psukim. Write it down on a piece of paper, those psukim. Says the Gemara, Tabor Lamand Omar, Torah Megillah Megillah Netna. This is a question according to the opinion that holds that Torah was given in small pieces. Tabor Lamand Omar, Torah Chesuma Netna. And it's a question according to the Mandom that says the Torah was given as one whole package. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. So as we're going to start learning now, there is a machloikis, how the Torah was given. Was it given in small pieces? Was it given in one big, as the whole Chamish Chamish Torah? I saw the Mefarshim explain, what is this machloikis based on? So, two explanations. One explanation is, how do we view the Torah? Do we view the Torah as from the perspective of those who received the Torah? Or do we review the Torah from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gave the Torah? If we review it from the perspective of those who receive it from Klal Yisrael, they got from Moshe Rabbeinu every parasha as it became relevant. But we look at it from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the whole Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the whole Torah before He created the world. Istakel Baraisa or Bara Alma? So the question is a question of perspective. Another pshat that I saw, as we know, we say every day the Pasuk, Torah Tziv Alon Moshe, My Rasha Kihilas Yaakov. And says the Gemara, Al Tikra My Rasha, Ella Mu Rasa. So the question is like this. If we look at the Torah as a Yerusha could be divided. Typically, an inheritance is divided amongst the Yerushim. If we look at Torah as Mu Rasa, we know you can't marry a half a woman. You have to take the whole woman. So how do we look at the Torah? Do we look at it like a Yerusha? Do we look at it like an Arusa? And the Gemara explains the question. This is a question even according to the opinion that says the Torah was given one parasha at a time. Do we say, Kivan the Megillah Megillah Nitna, since the Torah was given one parasha at a time, so when we write the Torah, we could also break it down to parashas? Or Dilma, Kivan the Gitbuk. But now we have the whole Torah, it has to remain one and whole. And Tibar Lamandam Torah Chetuma Nitna. It's also a question according to Mandam, the Torah was given as one whole Torah. Kivan the Chetuma Nitna. Do we say, since it was given as one package, Ein Kaisfin, we can't separate it into separate scrolls? Or Dilma, Kivan the Le'efshar, since it's impossible to give every Talmud and Yeshiva a whole Sefer Torah, Kasminin, we could break it down. Amalei, so he said, the Halach is Ein Kaisfin, we can't break it down. Umay Tama. What's the reason? Lefisha in Kaisfin. Of course, a very difficult line in the Gemara. What the Gemara is saying is that the Torah teaches us, as we're going to learn soon, that the Torah may not be written any way besides having all Chamisha Chumshe Torah. And since you're not allowed to write it in any other way, the halacha is you can't separate it for the Talmidim. Esvei asked the Gemara. The Gemara speaks in the Sechta Yuma about Hilni Hamalka. And Hilni Hamalka did many things to benefit Klal Yisrael. And one of the things that she did, says the Gemara Masechta Yuma, Afi Osso Tavla Shalzov, she made a tablet made out of gold, Shepasha Soitik Suvala. We know, we discussed, we learned Baruch Shem together Masechta Soita, that if a woman is a Soita, the halacha is the Kohen takes the Parasha Soita from the Torah, writes it on a cloth, and then has it erased in the Mayim HaMemorim. So she didn't want that every time that we went through this process, we would have to bring a Sefer Torah to the base of Mikdash. She had a tavla written that had on it just the Parasha Soita. But if we're saying, you know, let us separate a Parasha out of the Torah, how could she have done it? There's a Machloikas Achroinim. What did she do? Did she engrave it on the tavla shelzov? That's one pshat. Another pshat is that she had a gold plate, and on the gold plate she put a cloth that had written on it the Parasha Soita. But the question is a question no matter what. Here we're saying that you have to have all of the Torah together. How could she have just separated out the Parasha Soita? She didn't write out the whole parasha. She just wrote out the first letter of every word, and then the person who wrote the parasha soita was able to remember what it said. Esvei asked the Gemara. It says kushu kaisiv when the kohen is writing the parasha soita, roya the kaisiv mashakosiv betavla. He has to write the words. It's not just he's relying on his memory. Amos, what the Bryce means to say is, Kemoshikos b'tavla. Not that he's actually copying the words from the tavla. He's just remembering from the tavla what to write. Esrei asked the Gemara, there's another Bryce. The Bryce says, Kshukosif, when the coin is ray in the Parshas Hasoita, ray b'tavla, he actually looked at the tavla, the Kosif mashikos b'tavla, and he copied what it said in the tavla. Ma'akos b'tavla, what did it say in the tavla? Here the Brisa clearly says that it didn't just have the first letter of every word. Here it says that it had actually full words. So we're back to our question, how could you separate this from the whole Torah? Tosfos points out that there is no parasha, and there is no pasuk and the parasha cited that says imshachav. So Tosfos says it doesn't mean those words, it means imsatis, words that speak about if she did this adultery. Says the Gemara, hachok b'mayiskinen. What does the Brisa mean? B'serugin. Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand b'serugin. Rashi seems to say, serugin means like this. From every pasuk, he wrote the first couple of words of the pasuk, and the rest of the words, they didn't write, and he remembered the rest of the pasuk. The Rambam learned serugin, is they didn't write it, like a Sefer Torah is written, full lines. They only wrote three letters or three words to a line, and that's not considered writing, and that's why it's not an isser of not writing the whole Sefer Torah. Says the Gemara Ketanai. This question, if you could write a parasha of the Torah separately or not, is actually, says the Gemara, a machlokes tanoim. Ein kais megillah latinik l'slamibay. You can't just write a megillah for katinik to learn from. Vim dato l'hashlam. However, if he intends to finish, mutter. Because you're going to have the whole Sefer Torah. Rav Yehuda Omer, bereishis ador amadbo, that they did write separate parashas, separate megillas for the Talmidei HaYeshiva. Om Rabbi Yochum Shem Rabbi Noah. Torah, megillah, megillah netna. The Torah was given one parasha at a time. Shnemar, David HaMelech says in Tehillim. We know that when David HaMelech was raising to prominence, Shaul was concerned about him. But Doeg HaDoimi came to tell Shaul, you have nothing to worry about, David. David, we know, is a descendant of Rus. And Rus is a Rus HaMoivia. The Torah says, Lo Yova Amoini Ume'avi B'Kal Hashem. And David got very despondent. But then David says, Oz Amarti, Hine Bossi B'Megillah Seif Kosov Alai. I remembered that the Torah teaches us that Loit and his daughters were saved from the destruction of Sodom. And why were they saved? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that David HaMelech will be a descendant of those daughters, of Moav. So we see that if David HaMelech wasn't supposed to be part of Klai, so why would have a Kadosh Baruch Hu saved him? But what does David HaMelech call the Torah? A Megillah! So we clearly see that the Torah is written as a Megillah. Rishim HaLakishayma, Torah Chatumah Nitna. The Torah was given as one whole package. Shinema has the power of success. L'koyach as Sefer Torah Azayis. The whole Sefer Torah together. Vidach, ask the Gemara, Nami HaKsiv L'koyach. Here it clearly seems to indicate that the Torah was given as one whole package, not in separate pieces. So the Gemara, that pasuk, even the mandamin that holds the Torah was given as Megillus, ultimately it was all put together. Lebasa Ditbach. Vidach, Nami HaKsiv, but Megillus Sefer Kosolai. Says the Gemara, Hahu, what it means to say is the Kala Torah called Ikra Megillah. The fact that David HaMelech calls the Torah Megillah doesn't specifically indicate that the Torah was given in separate pieces. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says in Zechariah, V'yom Elai, he had a vision, and he asked, Ma to roi, v'ma ani roi a Megillah afa. The Torah, which is being called a Megillah, is floating. But doesn't mean that the Torah was given in separate packages. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara, the Machlaikis is a very clear Machlaikis. One man, the Amid, says that the Torah was given as a Megillah, separate parashas, and the other man, the Amid, says that it was given altogether. However, there is another opinion amongst Rishonim that says that even according to the man, the Amid, that says the Torah was given idbuk, it doesn't mean that it wasn't written separately. It's impossible that Moshe Rabbeinu should have just waited till they wrote. But why Moshe Rabbeinu was careful was we know Ein Mugdam Amulcha B'Torah, the parashas weren't necessarily given in consecutive order. Moshe did not write the Torah. He wrote it piecemeal, but he only wrote it when he could write the place in order. He didn't want to leave empty spaces. Inami, even according to Mandomir, that says Megillah, he says he agrees that certain parts of the Torah were given as a Megillah. Domer of Levi, Shemayna Parashas Nemru B'Yoyim Shukim by Mishkan. Rosh Chodesh Nissan, when the Mishkan was erected, 8 separate parashas were given. In other words, he's saying that even he agrees that under certain circumstances, the Torah was separated out. The Yom Shokan Bar Mishkan, which are the 8 parashas? Parashas Kohanim, that was the day that the Kohanim started serving, so we have to know the dinim of a Kohanim. Similarly, Parashas Leviim, the dinim of the Leviim. They too began that day. Parashas Temeim, the halacha of Temeim, because again, on that day was the day when the Machnois in the Midbar were established, so that's when Tumah Tahara become relevant. Similarly, Parashas Shluach Temeim, that certain people can't be in the Machnas Shechina, certain people can't be in the Machnas Leviyah. Parashas Achrei Mois, which is the Parashas Yom Kippur. So I saw, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says a Gval de Gavart. He asks, it's Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Why on that day do we have to speak about the Parashas Yom Kippurim? Kuwait. So he says there's a famous verse from the Gra. The Gra says, the Pasuk says, V'al Yovah B'chal Eisel HaKadosh. So Pasuk Pshat, we understand, that you can't, the Kohen Gadol could only enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. The Gra says, the Kohen Gadol can enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim at any time. As long as when he enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he does the Avodah of Yom Kippur. It's nice as we can understand. On Rosh Chodesh Nissan, we told the Kohen Gadol, you want to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim? You may, provided that you do the Avodah of Yom Kippur. Parashas Suyayin, that a Kohen may not do the Avodah when he drank wine. Here too, the Mefarshim ask, if so, we know another Nevi who died because they drank wine, but they never got the Parasha till now. So why did they die? So Mefarshim answer, they don't need to get the parasha. They should have understood on their own that it's inappropriate to enter when they drank wine. Or Parashas Neiris, the menorah, because that's when the menorah became used. Or Parashas Paraduma. As Mefarshim explained, even though they already heard about the Paraduma previously, but the Paraduma wasn't actually able to be done until after after Mishkan was erected. Because part of the rules of the Paraduma, it has to be done Pesach Oyel Moed. So until you have Oyel Moed, you don't have the Paraduma. Farshim also asks that the halach is that a Kohen who does the avoided Paraduma has to be separated for 7 days. So how could they tell him that we're going to bring the Paraduma? The next day, he wasn't separated previously. So Farshim answers, since who brought the Paraduma on the second day of Nissan? Elazar. And Elazar was already separated during the Shemoneh Shemei Meluim, so he didn't have to be separated again. And on second day of Nissan, the day after the erection of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, he could stop bringing the Paraduma. Amar Elazar, Torah Roi B'Ksav U'Mir Al Peh. Most of the Torah is Torah Shebiksav, and a minority is Torah Shebapeh. Shenemar, Echtav Lev Roiv Tarasi, K'may Zar Nachshavu. The Pasuk says, I wrote for them most of the Torah, and they treat it like foreign, they don't respect it. V'Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Roiv Alpeh, most of the Torah is Torah Shebapeh, or Miut Biksav. Yes, the Miut is Biksav. Shenemar, Ki'api Advorim Ho'ela. So Mefarshim asked the obvious question, how can we have a Mechloikis? What is the Roy? What is the Miut? So one pshat that I saw from the Chassam Sofer is, the question is, what is considered Torah Shebal Peh? The first mandamah says, we look at what we had when we received the Torah. When we received the Torah, most of it is Torah Shebal Ksav. Torah Shebal Peh only represents what was added to the Torah over generations. That wasn't there when the Torah was given. The other mandamah says that what's included in Torah Shebal Peh, it's called Mashe Talmud Osad L'Schadish. And that we know is thousands and thousands of Divrei Torah. That's all considered already part of Torah Shebal Peh, which is already reckoned at the time the Torah was given. But another pshat is like this. We know that what is most of Shas? Most of Shas is taking psukim of the Torah and explaining them. The machloikas of these manda omrim is, how do we view that? When we explain a pasuk, is that considered Torah Shebal Ksav because we're explaining a pasuk? Was that considered Torah Shebal Peh? And I saw a deeper explanation of that machloikis. The deeper explanation of that machloikis is, how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach Moshe Rabbeinu? One man Dhamma says, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah, says this pasuk, based on the Shloish Esra Midas, should be explained this way, Gzer Shava, Kav HaChomer, whatever. The other man Dhamma says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not teach Moshe Rabbeinu, take the pasuk and tell him, this pasuk is a Gzeres HaKosef, a Gzeres Shava, this pasuk is a Kav HaChomer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe the Torah Shebal Ksav. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him the Shloish Esra Midas and said, now you apply it. So the first mandama says it's considered Torah Shebal Ksav because HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him the Pesukim with the explanation. The second mandama says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just left it to Moshe to explain, and that's why it's considered mostly Torah Shebal Peh. Ask the Gemara, Vidach Nami Haksiv Echtav Loiv Roiv Tarasi. Says the Gemara, who that clearly indicates that Torah Shebal Ksav is the majority. Says the Gemara, the way to understand that pasuk is as follows. At Mu'a Kametama, the pasuk is wondering, Echtav Loiv Roiv Tarasi, is most of the Torah written? Halo Kamazah Zar Nachshavu. It's bad enough that they don't follow what's written. Why would I want to write more? Vidach Nami Ksiv Kepi Advarma Eila, that which seems to indicate the Torah Shebal Peh is the majority, says the Gemara, Hahu Mishum de Tekifel Megrenu. The pasuk means it's more difficult to learn Torah Shebal Peh, Machloikis, difficult Gemaras, than a pasuk Chumash. Darash of Yehuda ben Nachmeni, Metogmen de Rishim ben Lakish, Ksiv, Ksiv Lachas Advar Me'ela. Write down the Torah. On the other hand, it says, Ki Pi Advar Me'ela. The Torah should be written Baal Peh. Torah should be written Baal Peh. Hakeit said, how do we reconcile these two pasukim? Dvar Shebal Ksav Yeter Risham Lamar Al Peh. Dvarim Shebal Ksav have to be learned Torah Shebal Ksav. Dvarim Shebal Peh, Yat Rishom L'Omer B'Ksav. Torah Shebal Peh should be written Bal Peh, and Torah Shebal Ksav has to remain B'Ksav. Why does Torah Shebal Ksav have to remain B'Ksav? Because as we know, the Torah Shebal Ksav, the way the words are spelled, sometimes there's an extra letter, sometimes there's a missing letter, represent a lot. So we have to learn it B'Ksav. Another explanation, as we know, that in the Torah itself, the placing of psukim has a significance. So for it to be appreciated, we have to learn a b'ksav. Why is Torah Shebal Peh have to be relearned Bal Peh? So Pasha Pshat is because Torah Shebal Peh, to appreciate Torah Shebal Peh, we have to have proper pshat. How do we have proper pshat? When you learn Bal Peh, you learn it from a Rebbe. The proper way of learning Torah is not learning it by yourself, but hearing a shir. If you hear a shir, you'll get the right pshat, hopefully. Another pshat is that Torah Shebal Peh, something that you don't have written, you're more likely to have to review. In order to appreciate and remember Torah Shebal Peh, you have to constantly review it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu purposely told us, don't learn it, don't write it, which will cause us to constantly review it. Rishmol, the Beir Shmuel Tana, Eila at the Kosef, the Torah Shebal Ksav you write, V'yat the Kosef Halachas. Om Rav Yochanan, L'Karas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bris in Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's only wrote a Bris with Klai Yisrael, El B'Shvil Dvarim Shebal Peh. Dvar Shvapet is the main part of Torah. Shenema, ki api advarim elu, krati itcha bris ves Yisrael. So here the Gemara gives Torah Shvapet primary over Torah Shvaksav. And the Mepharshim explain why. I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is because Torah Shvaksav is not only for Klal Yisrael. Torah Shvaksav is for everybody. So Torah Shvapet, which is only ours, is more significant. Another pshat is, as we know, we can't really understand and appreciate Torah Shebaksav unless we have Torah Shebal Peh. And therefore, Torah Shebal Peh is more important, otherwise Torah Shebaksav remains quite not understandable. Another pshat that I saw is that where is Torah Shebaksav written? It's written on the cloth that's taken from an animal. Where is Torah Shebal Peh written? Torah Shebal Peh is written on our hearts. So something that's written on a Jewish heart is so much more significant than something that's just written on a cloth from a behemoth. And a last pshat that I saw is as follows. Torah, when somebody learns Torah, he's connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as we said earlier, every time somebody learns Torah, and he asks a question, and he says an answer, and he says a pshat, he's reconnecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Torah Shebaksav, we know, one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, we can't add to Torah Shebaksav. We can't detract from Torah Shebaksav. It is as it is. So we're not really reconnecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we learn Torah Shebaksav. But when we learn Torah Shebaper, and we say a pshat, and we try to understand the Gemara, where every time we open up a Gemara, we're reconnecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it's a bris, and that's why it's so significant. So here we have a very fundamental question. If the halach is, Dvarim Shebaksav, Iyat Rishah Lomer Malpeh, how can you ever say any part of davening bal peh? It's Dvarim Shebaksav. Most of davening are psukim. So there are many answers in the paiskim given to this. Some say, as we discussed earlier, that this halach of Dvarim Shebaksav is only chumash, not neviim ksuvim. Most of psukim and davening are not from chumash, they're from neviim ksuvim. Another shot is that something that everybody's familiar with, kriyas shema, other tefillahs, the din of Dvarim Shebaksav Iyat Rishah Lomer Al Peh is only something that we're not familiar with. Something that we're familiar with doesn't have that din. Another pshat is only when we're coming to be mitzi, when we're coming to do for tzibur, there is a halacha of Dvarim Shebaksav. But when I'm davening for myself, it's not that din. Another reason is, just like the halacha is the Dvarim Shebal Peh, you're not supposed to write. However, Chazal, as we learned on Amud Aleph, because Eis Lassel Hashem Eferet Tarasecha said that we are allowed to write Torah Shebal Peh. Similarly, Torah Shebaksav, in order that we should be able to daven, and they didn't have Sidurim as available as we have, Chazal said that Dvarim Shebaksav, you could say Bal Peh. Another psak that I saw is that this is only relevant to Kriyas HaTorah. That's where it says Dvarim Shebaksav, Yat Rishoa Lomer Mal Peh. This is not that. So that's why, and others suggest that Enochanami, one should daven from a siddur, because Dvarim Shebaksav Yat Rishoa Lomer Mal Peh. One more question. Ramosha, the Briskerov discuss. We know that there are psukim in the Torah, that there's a kri and a ksiv. The Torah is written one way, but we read it another way. Why is there no problem with Dvarim Shebaksav Yat Rishoa Lomer Mal Peh? We're not saying it as it says. We're saying it as the kri is. Says Ramosha, and he bases it on a Briskerov. The Briskerov says every time we open a chumash, we do that. Because the Torah, as it writes Hashem Hashem, is Yud Kei Vav Kei. But we don't pronounce it Yud Kei Vav Kei. We pronounce it Aleph Dalet. So the Torah is telling us that even though Dvarim Shebaksav Yat Rishoa Lomer Mal Peh, there are exceptions to that rule. What are the exceptions to that rule? The exception to that rule is that Shem Hashem or the Kriyin Ksivs. Says the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah, Avim Beis Yashem Neidak Hasholem. The house that had the Erev is that house should continue having the Erev. My Tama. Elam Mishim Kovid, it's not nice to take the Erev away from the house that always had it. Says the Gemara, who's Shufra? My Chloik is what Shufra means. Rashi says that they used to have a Shofar that they blew with Friday when this man was. Or the Taisu says Shufra means that they had a Pushka in which they collected Staka. Davin Mikarbe Rabbi Yehuda. First it was in Rabbi Yehuda's house, and then it went to L'Psai Bei Rabba, or L'Psai Bei Rabbi Yosef. You see that you are allowed to move it. L'Psai Bei Abaya, L'Psai Bei Rava, Elm Shem Chashoda. Here too we have a machlok, what Chashoda means. Rashi means like this. Everybody knows that the Erev is in this person's house. Now, I'm going to come to this person's house, and there's no Erev there. So he's not going to think that maybe they moved the Erev to someone else's house. They're going to think that they're carrying without an Erev. So that's why you have to leave it in the same house. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos learns that the Chashad is the person that has the Erev. I'm going to come to your home, and I always knew that your home has the Erev, and then I'm looking for Erev, and it's not there. I'm going to come to accuse you that you misappropriated the Erev for yourself, which is wrong. We learned also in the Mishnah, Bar Shukarv L'Ama, that if there's a pit next to the Ama, next to the irrigation canal, that's the one that's allowed to divert the water to his... So we have along the hill mountain, water going from uphill to downhill. The one closer to the source is allowed to divert the water. Says the Gemara, Itma B'nei Nahara. You have a river going up and down the mountain. The question is, who has first rights to the water? Rava Matatoy Shasamaya, the people on the bottom of the hill, have first rights, Beresha. Bishmul Amaylo Shasamaya Beresha, the people on the top of the hill. Says the Gemara, but the Mezel, water that's flowing, and it's just going by itself, says the Gemara, the Kulam Loi Pligi. Where it goes, where the water flows, that's where it goes. Ki Pligi, but the Misker Vashkuye, if you have to divert the water. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Eloi Shosamai Beresha. The people on top of the mountain have first rights to divert the water. The Amri, because they say, Anan Mekravin and Tvei. Since we are closer to the source of the water, we have a right to divert it first. Rav Amar, Tatoi Shosamai Beresha, they have the right. Daminar Kipashti, Lezal Tanan. We let the water, we have to let the water flow down the mountain. Ask the Gemara, how can we reconcile Rav's opinion with what we learned in the Mishnah? Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Bara Karv La'oma, the pit that's closer to the source of the water, Misnah L'Risha M'nei Dark Yisholim. So we clearly see that that's the first, the pit on the top of the mountain, says the Gemara. Tegum Shmuel, I'll leave it to Rav. Shmuel explained Rav's opinion, but Amma HaMasalechis Apibara. So as the Rajab explains, the Mishnah is referring to a case where he didn't have to do anything. There was a pit already dug on top of the mountain, and that pit, the water by itself automatically flowed there. So since I didn't do anything, that's why the water on top gets that, the pit on top gets the water first. Ask the Gemara, if I didn't do anything, it happened automatically, so what's the Mishnah teaching me? Yochem Maila Memra, answers the Gemara, Madu Tema, we may think that perhaps the halacha requires Matzi Armalei Soka Miska Vashbid Hazna. Not only do you not allow to divert the water, but maybe you should close up your pit to make sure that the water doesn't get diverted. Teaches us the Mishnah, if that pit is there before, from before, and you didn't purposely dig the pit, we don't make you close it up. Amar Rav Huna about the Khalifa. Hashta, the Lehitma, Hechas Alekamar Velekamar. We don't know the Aloch is like Rav Shmuel. The Aloch is called the other. Called the Olam Gover. In every situation, we follow the right halacha. So the Paiskim ask, why do we follow the opinion of called the Olam Gover? Why doesn't the Gemara make a decision? Especially since we follow the opinion of Shmuel usually. So that's what the Paiskim say. Usually the pshat and called the Olam Gover, whoever is stronger shall win, means because whoever cares more and he fights, it's a raya that he's right. Here, it's a different situation. This is a question that comes up every day. And since it's a question that comes up every day, Chazal didn't want to render an opinion. Says the Gemara, fascinating Gemara. Rav Simi bar Ashi osla kamei dabaya. Rav Simi bar Ashi came to Baya. Omle lois fin mar, bidna. I'd like to have a shir that you should teach me every day. Omle isni idli didi. I need to learn myself. I have no time to learn with you. So then he asked them, the lois ma belaila, so at least learn with me every night. Omle, Isli Maila Shkuya. At night I work on my field. Omalei, Anoma Shikna Lamar, I'll take over your responsibility to water the field. Anoma Shikna Lamar, my Bimama, I will take over during the day to water your field. And therefore, Lois Mabalila, you should have time at night to learn with me. Omalei, so he told him, L'chai. Abai said, fine. Ozalaloi, so his field was right in the middle of the mountain. So he went to the people on the top of the mountain. We have Rav's opinion. The people on the bottom get first. And then Ozla Tatoi, and he went to the people on the bottom, and said, we follow the opinion of Shmuel. Adahachi. So these people didn't divert the water. And he went, he in the middle of the field, he diverted it to him, and he should be able to water the field very quickly. It shouldn't take him much time. When he came to Abaye and told him what he did, you acted inappropriately. He refused to eat the fruits from that year. So the Rishonim explained what was there, the dispute. He held, since called Olam Gavar, called Olam Gavar isn't only for the people on the top and the bottom, it's for anybody on the mountain. And therefore, he diverted it for himself. He was able to position himself that way. Abaye said the Machloikis Rav and Shmuel is either the top or the bottom, but the middle certainly isn't entitled. Says the Gemara, Hanib Nei Chermach. There were people in the city of Chermach, the Ozul Kara Bereisha the Shimasa. They made a channel. It looked like a sea for the water to go into that channel. The Jew of Shilinara. Like that, the water went through that sea and then went back in. Also loyal Kameda Baya. So the people on top of that channel came to Baya. Omale Kamaskal Naharan. The water is backing up into on top here, and it's causing a flood. Omle Karba Daya Tfai Porta. So he told the people, dig a little deeper, and like that, it won't back up. Omle Koyashvi Perin. So he said, now the water, because you dug so deep, the water doesn't flow well down the mountain. Omle Ziluk Shaykh Mahasam. You're not allowed to dig that channel if it causes damage to other people who had rights to that water first. Thank you.